if you like betting on golf. But everyone that you back misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast 230. This is our 2022 Kazoo Open de France tips podcast. Paul Williams and Barry O'Hanrahan join me, Steve Bamber, to discuss our selections for this week's DP World Tour action. Good morning, gents.
Morning, guys.
Morning, guys.
Please subscribe to this podcast as you drive the popularity of the show. This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gamble aware. You can visit begambleaware.org for more info. And of course, please bet responsibly. Visit our world famous golf betting system website with our in-depth betting preview for the Open de France. We've got tournament form statistics, form charts, including combined course plus current form, and our DP World Tour predictive optimizer. It's all free of charge. There is no paywall. We're available on Twitter. Paul is at Golf Betting. Barry is at A Good Talk Golf. I am at Bamford Golf. Subscribe to the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel where this podcast is available, along with my weekly golf betting show. Plus, you can join our Golf Betting System Facebook group. The link is available in the description box. Now, you guys, as listeners, power this podcast, so we need your five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, as ever. For those of you who leave a review, I will read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name and where you are in the review. Now, I mentioned last week we were absolutely 100% out of five-star reviews. So, Robert from Glasgow came to our rescue. It's exactly the same situation for next week, chaps and lasses. If you could write a five-star review, it's very, very likely that I'll be reading it out next week because the cupboard is bare. But thanks to Robert, he's in Glasgow. He's written this. Unbeatable Golf Chat is the title. Five stars. This podcast is fantastic. Three great guys. The website is world class. Golf punters must listen to this. Short and sweet. Thanks, Robert. Much appreciated.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. Thanks for taking the time to give us the review, Robert. And as Steve said, if anyone else wants to contribute, that would be very much appreciated.
Bit of a strange week this week, isn't it? We've got no PGA Tour action. Mm. We've clearly got the President's Cup over in Carolina. We wasn't really going to focus on that too much. It's difficult to focus on an event where the home team is 7-1 on to win. From a betting perspective, it seems a bit of a closed shop.
Yeah.
But Barry, you did say off mic that there might potentially be something in the fact that the internationals hang on and hang on during the team matches. But at that point, clearly in the singles, the Americans walk away with it.
I mean, it's not exactly a firm belief that that will happen, but just hopeful in terms of a fan's perspective that, you know, they hang with them in the team side of things, and then at least going into the singles, there's a chance. But it doesn't look good on paper right now. But you just never know. Match play is a funny thing. The internationals could get a bit of a bit of momentum and make a game of it. But yeah, it feels like the writing's on the wall, unfortunately, which kind of takes away from it as a spectacle.
I think the President's Cup has been undoubtedly hit by Liv. You know, the fact that Cam Smith's gone and won in Chicago last week.
Yep.
Joaquin Neiman. There's some decent internationals that have clearly jumped the fold. So, yeah, it's a difficult one. Should we talk about what happened actually on the DP World Tour and the PGA Tour last week? Let's start PGA Tour. What an incredible finish at the Fortinet Championship.
That was mad, wasn't it? Absolute mad. 72nd hole. with Danny Willett three putting that final hole. What is he, 3.5 feet away with the first putt? But you could see the look on his face when Homer chipped in, couldn't you? It was that kind of wry smile. And, you know, you'd still expect him to do it. £14,000 was matched at 1.01 on Betfair.
Oh, no.
At, on Danny Willett at that point.
14K?
14 grand, yeah.
Good God.
Yeah. That was from Steve Rawlins on who writes for Betfair on Twitter. Yeah. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, give Steve a follow. He's always good value for that kind of stuff. But yeah, 14 grand. And Homer was matched at 1,000 on Betfair as well to win.
So, and was this like in the last few seconds before it unfolded, like when Homer was in the swale in front of the green?
Yeah, I mean, at that point, you'd looked at those two positions, given what the players, respective players, needed to do to actually get the result that they did, and you can see why it was priced at such a low rate. But yeah, man,
yeah, oh my god, yeah. I mean, to not even get to a playoff, to skip straight to a win,
yeah. I mean, he put a brave face in it afterwards, Danny, didn't he? And talked about how pleased he was with the state of his game in general. But that's got to be through gritted teeth. It was. It's got to be a painful one to take, I think.
He seemed to take it quite well. I mean, in so far, probably at least 850 times better than I would have taken it. Mm. So. It seemed like he was taking satisfaction from the performance of the week and separating that from the result, yep. In as much as he could, given the gut punch he just received. But I guess that's from a mental stage of his game, that's a really great position to be in. So he's playing for the satisfaction of playing well, or he's getting satisfaction out of playing well, and then a win is a bonus. Obviously, he wants a win, but. Seems to be a good place to get to after implementing some swing changes.
Yeah, he's that kind of random player. He's well capable of winning a big tournament, but it does always seem to be interspersed with a lot of missed cuts. So trying to find the right solution with Danny Willett, unless you just back him blindly and. Put up with the fact that there are going to be some very long stretches of blank weeks. But yeah, 125-1 I saw about him last week. And for a player of undoubted quality, no record previously at the 40 net before to speak of. So you can understand why his price was where it was. But even so, backable.
So to back you up, Paul, 7th at the 3M Open, 67th at the Rocket Mortgage Classic, missed cut of the Wyndham. Didn't make the PGA Tour FedEx Cup playoffs. So I think he's playing off a reduced... I think he's 126 through 150 on the status chart. Mm. Then he came to Europe, 9th at Cron at the European Masters. Missed cut at the Wentworth when we mentioned him on the podcast as the kind of guy that might just sneak up. And 2nd at the 40 net. He's up to 88th in the world rankings now. So he jumped 60-odd spots last week with that result.
Yeah.
And clearly all of those exemptions from his Masters victory, they're all in the rearview mirror. So he needs to be in a decent position in the world rankings to get into the better tournaments now.
Yeah, yeah.
Just adds clarity, doesn't it? Adds clarity to a player. I have to deliver. I have to do something.
Yeah. And again, we started the Ryder Cup qualification process, and Daniel have his eye on a position as well, given the given there's going to be a few spots up for grabs this time next year.
How many spots did we work out last week, chaps?
Yeah, probably four.
That
or five,
we thought there's going to be four or five spots that has to be taken by clearly players that are no longer either on the DP World Tour or PGA Tour. Fresh blood or old players that can find form again, like a Francesco Molinari or Danny Willett. The door's wide open now for Ryder Cup.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like an informed Danny Willett on your Ryder Cup team. You'd be happy about that.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So that was just crazy. So Homer Duff's his third, standing there over the ball. He's one shot behind Danny Willett, who's in the fairway on the par 5, 18th. He then chips in to level Willett's score. And then Willett hits it on the green for two. He chips on. Two putts for the playoff, three putts for a loss. Madness.
And 3.5 feet. These things happen, don't they? Over in Europe, Robert McIntyre got his second European Tour win. Cracking final round, 64 he closed with. And that was despite a little bit of a late wobble as well, a couple of bogeys coming home. And at that point, it looked like Matt Fitzpatrick could get the job done. But he rallied and beat Fitz in the playoff. We've looked at McIntyre, we've backed him a number of times in the past. It's interesting listening to him in the interview afterwards because he was saying that he didn't think the course particularly was going to suit him at the start of the week. Didn't think his game was quite there, even though he'd been doing a lot of work with his coach or coaches. Push came to shove. He really did push on Sunday, which you can't begrudge a guy who goes out and makes 10 birdies on a final day to win a tournament. That's pretty good going. From my perspective, I had Antoine Rosner. He was handy throughout the tournament, really, but couldn't push on. 16th in the end. Molinari was 13th going into Sunday, but shot 74, so that took him out of it. Most disappointed with Joost Luiten, really, because he was in a great position, playing nicely up to halfway, fifth at the halfway point, and then his back went. He really had problems with it for the final two rounds. He stuck around. He tried to play through it, shot 77, 74, drifted all the way down the leaderboard in the end, and has had to withdraw this week to try and sort it out, which is pretty disappointing because I really fancied he'd go well and potentially push on for a place or better at that halfway point. But it wasn't to be, sadly. What can you do?
50th at Wentworth, McIntyre. 68th for strokes going off the tee. He lost almost 3 strokes.
Oh, yeah. And I looked at him. I had a proper good look at him before.
Negative on approach. He was 65th tee to green. Lost almost 2 strokes to the field. Did putt well at Wentworth. And then all of a sudden, 6th for tee to green, 19th off the tee, 11th for approach, 9th for putting, wins the tournament.
Something just clicked.
Telegraphed. See, lads, what we're missing here in the raw numbers is Rory McIlroy saying a few choice words to him about, like, the next generation has to step up for the Ryder Cup, and that kind of seems to merge with what McIntyre's goal is, and he gets the blessing from King Rory, and he just gets the belief, and off he goes.
Mm. Absolutely,
it's just psychology. It has to be at that level of the game. Just that 1-2% just seems to just click for guys. You get that little bit of backstory after the win, which would be nice in advance when we're placing bets on the event. But you get that little bit of context, down the week about like how their mind was framed going into that week, and all of a sudden you turn like crappy long game into like superstar long game and a win.
Yeah.
This is why golf betting is so hard. We always say like the most valuable metric we could possibly ever have is strokes gained mental game.
Mm.
What percentage health is their mental game in that particular week?
Yeah. What are these intangible factors that are going to help you pick the right guy in the right week? It's what keeps us going, boys. Keeps us digging, trying to find these players who are going to make us a few quid.
Let's talk Kazoo Open de France. Open de Français. We're back at Le Golf National. We haven't been here for a long while, have we?
No. In your finest French, Steve, you must have nailed that GCSE French back in the day. Yes, we haven't been to Le Golf National since 2019 due to COVID. So the last couple have been cancelled, which is a shame, really, because it's always a good course for us to return to. Loads of history. They've been playing here since 1991 on and off, and exclusively here since 2002. So if you're digging through the stats on the site this week, there's loads of Le Golf National data to pour over. this week on the website, on the combine stats and also the event stats. So do take a look. Yeah, I guess the field's starting to drift down in terms of quality again after some decent couple of weeks. In fact, next week's Dunhill Links looks like it's going to be a cracker as well. So it's no surprise, really, we've taken a little bit of a step back in terms of the field. Patrick Reed is the 16-1 favourite, marginal favourite from Thomas Peters. Same price available, but there's only a few bookies going 16-1 on Reed. It's more widely available on Peters at the same price. Last week's winner, Bob McIntyre, 20-1. Victor Perez, 20-1. He played well last week, had a chance of making the playoff right at the end. Didn't quite get there. Jordan Smith, 22s. Adrian Maronk, 28-1. Same price. Ryan Fox, same price. Antoine Rosner. Rasmus Højgaard, 33s. Adrian Ategi, 33-1. 40-1 bar that list of players that I've just read through. Again, there's lots of each way offers, each way terms to pour over this week as well. Boyle Sports, 8 places each way. Coral, Ladbrokes, William Hill, all 8 places each way, a fifth of the odds. Bet365, again, as we've been saying, their each way extra proposition is also running this week. So they have the standard markets and 8 places each way, fifth of the odds market, and you can go all the way up to 12 places if you prefer. There's different options on there. And again, there's an explanation on my preview, which was published this morning, Tuesday, at the crack of dawn. So if you want to read through that, take a look through and see what you think. Albatross course at Le Golf National. As I say, it's been used for a number of years. 7,247-yard par 71 stadium course. It's an exposed course. It's very challenging. We've seen it a number of times, and it's never a pushover. Style-wise, I always class it as almost an inland links. I do look at linksy style results when I'm trying to work out who wins this particular tournament. Speedy bent grass greens. There's a little bit of a mix of meadow grass in there as well, but predominantly bent grass. If they can get the right temperature and the right conditions, then usually up to about 12 and a half on the stimp. So that's pretty fast from a DP World Tour perspective, and they're probably going to get to the right conditions this week. Actually, it should be dry. It's going to be mainly cloudy, a little bit of sunshine now and again. Temperatures low 70s, just into the 70s Fahrenheit, I think, this week. Pretty much no wind. I mean, it did look a little bit windier at the start of the week when I'd started looking at this event, or the back end of last week, but the wind forecast seems to have dropped to virtually nothing. So you're kind of looking 5-10 miles an hour max most days, which whether it makes it particularly easier, I'm not entirely sure, because this course, when it's firm, that is its main defense, undoubtedly. You know, if it's firm and windy, it can be absolutely brutal, but even without any wind, it can still be pretty tricky. I'll put it into context because we can go through some of the winning scores here and some of the winners, and that might give us a flavour as to what to expect. 2010 was Miguel Angel Jimenez at 80-1. He won at 11 under par. Thomas LeVay won the year after, 140-1 at 7 under. Marcel Siem, 70-1. 8 under par in 2012. GMAC won 2 consecutive events, 25-1, 12-1 at 9 under and 5 under respectively. 2015 was Bernd Wiesberger, 33-1, 13 under par. That's the deepest the scoring's got in this string that I'm going to read through. Tongchai Jaidi won in 2016 at 66-1. He was 11 under par. 2017 was Tommy Fleetwood, 22s at 12 under. 2018 was Alex Noren at 16 to 1. He was 7 under par. And the last winner here was Nicholas Coltsarts at 100-1. He won at 12 under par. So winning scores ranging from 5 under through to 13 under as the deepest number. And yeah, really quite consistent within the middle there, somewhere in the kind of 9, 10, 11, 12 under wins it, depending on how soft or firm it is and depending if there's a bit of wind around or not. If I was to have a guess right now, I'd say it'll probably be towards the upper end of that. I think it'll probably be 12, 13, that kind of number, simply because there's no wind. But I still think it's going to cause It caused the players to have to pay a lot of attention. It would still be a challenging track because that's the very nature of Le Golf National. Now, if you listen to some of those names, and we're talking about Coulthard, Fleetwood, Wiesberger, it's no surprise really that high greens in regulation from traditional stats has worked well here in the past. And putting that into context, Coulthard was third for greens in regulation, Norren was fifth, Fleetwood was first, that's no surprise at all. Bernd Wiesberger was second for greens in regulation. So if you're finding lots of greens, then you can put yourself into a very, have a good platform to go well in this event, is probably the best way to describe it. Now, if you miss greens, then your scrambling needs to be absolutely spot on because it is really quite tricky here. So first and foremost, find your greens. If you can't, you need to be pretty mercurial around the greens. And if you've got neither of those, then I'm not sure you're going to make the weekend, to be honest. We've only got some strokes gain stats from 2019. That's the only year we've got any data for. Coulthard was fourth for off the tee, seventh for strokes gain approach, second for strokes gain tee to green. So three very big long game pointers there. George Kutsaya, he was third. He was eighth for strokes gain approach, fourth for strokes gain tee to green. So very consistent there. JB Hansen came second, his exception to the rule this week. He was second for strokes gained putting and actually managed to find a way to putt his way around Le Golf National last time we were here. But I'd say that's very much the exception rather than the rule. I would err on the side of long game performance every day of the week on this particular course. Only other things to grab onto, really. Incoming form, most of the players, there's a little bit of form, but it tends to be solid. You know, if unspectacular incoming form gets the win here. And that's kind of reflected by some of these prices. You know, Thomas LeVay, 140-1. Coulthard's 100-1. Lots of 80s and 70s and 66s in there as well. So picking a player with a little bit of sneaky form without actually having, you know, virtually won the week before may well be a good way to go. Coulthard was 17th on his penultimate start, so that puts that into context. Alex Norren, he was quite fancy, 16-1, but he'd finished third three starts before than a couple of kind of middling performances. Tommy Fleetwood back in 2017, he'd finished fourth and sixth on his previous two starts. 22-1, which is a bit surprising, really. The reason for that is he had missed four consecutive cuts here at Le Golf National. So he was coming in with some particularly poor course form, but then turned that all around, won at 22-1. And that kind of puts the course form question, I guess, into question. Because you look at a lot of the recent winners, 13 of the last 15 winners here had a top 25 or better in the past. Fleetwood came in with miscut, and then turned it round and won. So I don't think course form's a bad thing, but I don't get completely hung up on it would be my suggestion here with this. And of course, we've not played since 2019, so you know, things could have changed. Lots of players have come and gone since that point, and it's not almost a fresh tournament, but certainly without the continuity there, perhaps we'll see something a little bit different this week. Before I go into, I've got four selections. Before I go in, is anything either of you guys want to chip in with in terms of the course or the setup or what you like or dislike about Le Golf National?
Tough.
Both stuck. Unexpected question. Yeah.
It is a tough test. Yeah.
It's rough. Water everywhere.
Yeah.
Always reminds me of PGA National over in Florida.
Mm. Yeah, I can see that.
Grinders track. I mean, the Americans in the Ryder Cup just couldn't get on with it, could they?
No. And that was, you know, the way it was set up. was to kind of favour the Europeans at that point, which understandably you're going to do as much as you possibly can to give yourself an advantage. But it's that kind of course anyway, isn't it? It's that kind of tricky, challenging track where plodders can often prosper, and that kind of lends itself to the greens in regulation point, doesn't it? If you're just grinding out greens, making the odd putt, slowly but surely accumulating a score, and not hemorrhaging bogeys, then that can get you to the right kind of winning total.
So you're thinking strokes going ball striking, if we had those numbers, would be absolutely critical for this place, yeah?
I think so, yeah. And if you look at Coles, you know, if you were to ask me straight off the bat, describe the best asset of Nicholas Coulthart's, other than his longer driving, then I would put him down as a greens in regulation grinder. Tommy Fleetwood, absolutely the same. So, we've only got this 1 year of strokes gained data to look at. But yeah, you're absolutely right. It's a combination of the long game aspects from a strokes gained perspective that are going to win here. If someone turned up and just had an incredible putting week, I'd be surprised if they still just won. But never say never.
That doesn't feel favourite Patrick Reed territory, does it? Strokes gained ball striking.
No, I mean, I looked at his stats. He hit less than half of his greens in regulation last week at LIV Chicago. So we know that he does have these odd spiky weeks with his long game, Patrick Reed. You can't deny that. But in general, he's this kind of 60-65% greens regulation guy, isn't he? If he's going to go well, then he couples that with incredible week around the greens and on the greens. But if he's hitting less than 50% coming in, I can't go remotely near that. And as you say, he's the favourite to win this week. I couldn't back Reed. I wasn't convinced that McIntyre was a good bet either. I mean, to go back-to-back after an emotional win, not convinced. Last time he finished sixth on his next start after his win back a couple of years ago, but there were a couple of weeks in between times. This time he's going straight back into action, literally a few days later. So wasn't convinced there. I was more interested in Victor Perez and Thomas Peters. And at the back end of last week, before Perez was playing well, I had him down as one of the potential players to back this week in this event. But he's really crippled his price by playing so well last week, 20-1. And there's just no juice in that for me, I don't think.
We know how the Gannets play golf as well. What's the French record in their home open? I wouldn't be surprised if he told me it's very poor.
Yeah, you'd have to go back to Thomas Levay. I did look at Perez's record in France in general at all levels, and it was just there wasn't enough there to take a chance on at the price. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes well. I wouldn't be surprised if he's in and around the top 10, to be honest. But could he really push on for a win? Not convinced. But he is playing well. So, don't be surprised if he pops up over the next few weeks or so.
Paul, question. Just on going back to the course of it. This is now taking place in September versus pretty much every year it took place end of June, early July. I always remember the year going into the Ryder Cup when Justin Thomas came over and was taking on a few of the par fours and won. The ball was bouncing and rolling a lot. I mean, are we kind of looking at that level of bounciness now, even though it is September, or a little bit kind of the sting taken out of it?
No, I think it is. It's reportedly quite firm, and I can understand that. I mean, even though we've had, we're a few hundred miles further north here, but even though we've had a bit of rain in the last few weeks, the ground is still absolutely rock hard, and it's similar by all accounts over there. I am expecting it to play really quite linksy. Is my kind of view on it. I think that's the style of golf. That's the style of play that is going to be that we're going to see this week. And it takes driving distance out of the equation, I think, because players will have to pick and choose their clubs based on how the ball is running out. But then that also puts more of an emphasis on playing well from tee to green. You're going to need to be quite accurate. You're going to need to be hitting lots of greens, being able to handle the conditions, I think. So, interesting to see how it plays. But I if it had been a few weeks further on and you're starting to get a bit more moisture into the ground, then I could see it playing differently. But we're not quite there yet. It's probably early enough in the autumn for it still to be quite challenging from a firmness perspective.
Relative to par, we're probably looking at a pretty grindy week.
I think so.
Maybe not quite. Maybe touching to double digits if somebody gets going.
If I was taking a punt on it now, I'd probably go for 12s. I think 12 under would probably be the number. But we'll see next week how wildly inaccurate that prediction was. I boiled it down. I've gone for 4 in total this week. I have started my team with the talent that is Ewan Ferguson. 50-1 I got with Paddy Power 7 places each way, a fifth of the odds, and that price is available right now with Paddy Power. And I thought that was outstanding from a player who has had an outstanding year. He won in Qatar, won a Galgorm Castle, didn't do anything wrong at Denmark or in Denmark a couple of weeks back, did he? It's only that Oliver Wilson held those absolute bombs on the back nine that prevented him winning from a third title. Those two wins came at 7 under and 12 under. That's absolutely in the right ballpark, I think, as to what we should expect. And Doha, where he won that first event, is always a good barometer for me for inland linksy style courses. Now, if you look at Kolsarts, if you look at Fleetwood, you look at Wiesberger, we've talked about them all being greens in regulation machines. Ferguson currently sits second for greens in regulation on the DP World Tour for the season. Now, the player in first place on that stack, greens in regulation, is Jordan Smith, 22-1. 22-1, Ewan Ferguson's 50-1. Now, in my view, if you were to put those two players head-to-head on a Sunday, so they're both four shots ahead of the rest of the field, going into the final day head-to-head, who wins that tournament, Ewan Ferguson or Jordan Smith? For me, it's Ewan Ferguson every single time. It's given what we've seen this year and given how we've seen him progress, Smith tends to kind of fall away. Ferguson seems to find a way to get himself into a very, very strong, potentially winning position. And he's twice the price. I couldn't get it. I couldn't quite understand it. So just had to take it. 50-1, stuck him up top and we'll see how he fares. But
I've gone to our DP World Tour predictor model, which is available to all of the listeners. I will put a link through to it in the description box of this podcast. I have maximised 10 out of 10. Strokes gained off the tee, strokes gained on approach, greens in regulation. Pure ball striking. Top 5. 5, Dodo Molinari. 4, Victor Perez. We've already mentioned him. 3, Antoine Rosner. You were all over him last week. Mm-hmm. So was I. 2, Jordan Smith. Number 1, Ewan Ferguson.
Well, there you go. The stats back it up. But yeah. Absolutely. You know, you could go as simple as that in terms of the key components, and that could throw you out what could be a really quite likely set of contenders. And I think Ewan Ferguson 50-1 is a great bet this week. Absolutely great bet. So he's in. I've also backed Torbjørn Olsen 35-1. Now I backed him with the eight places each way option with Bet365. He's shown some really positive signs since returning after the birth of his second child at the end of August. 22nd in Himmerland, and there's a pair of 66s in there. Now, he hit 82% of greens regulation that week. That was his best GIR stat for over 2 years. And that's the kind of number that, when I see that about Olsen, it's a big green light for a future tournament if I think one's going to fit. Which, given his record here, I think it may well do. Last time out, 16th, last week at in Italy. Progressive for strokes going off the tee, progressive for strokes going tee to green. And what we know with Olsen is he can often pop up with these really sparky putting weeks. And if you get one of those that combines and collides with one of these high greens in regulation weeks, then that's when he wins. It could be a real danger this week, I think. Now, he was second here on debut back in 2011. He was third in 2017. So a couple of decent spins here. Missed cuts in there as well. He's missed 4 cuts, I think. He's withdrawn as well 1 year. But if the irons are in form at the moment, then it's quite possible that he wins, I think. Going back to the Ryder Cup that was held here, he did play. He beat Jordan Spieth in the Sunday singles 5-4. So he's got some good memories of playing it. And again, we talked about Danny Willett in terms of this Ryder Cup, you know, potentially making the Ryder Cup team. Shane Lowry, Bob McIntyre, last couple of weeks, they've already thrown their hat in the ring. Thorbjørn Olsen, is that a name that potentially could fit that narrative further down the line? I think he probably could do. If he has a, you know, has a good run from here over the next 12 months, then why not? Why not make his second Ryder Cup team? We shall see. So Olsen's in. Slightly longer price. I've backed Tom Lewis, 80-1 with the Bet365 option. Again, 8 places each way. He's showing some decent signs, Lewis. Fourth after 36 holes at the Himalayan. Faded away a little bit there. Third to halfway last week. Now, he got paired with Rory and Matt Fitz going into Saturday, which may have just thrown him out of kilter a little bit. He shot 40 on his outbound 9. Paired alongside those two. Rallied a bit after that, but still couldn't get much closer to the lead. Finished in the tie for 16th, I think, or thereabouts in the end. But even so, he seemed really positive on Instagram. I think he should be, really. Second from greens in regulation last week. First for strokes gained approach. 11th for strokes gained tee to green. They're the kind of numbers that I want to see about the winner this week. So if he can repeat that, then all well and good. Twice a winner in Portugal at Vilamoura. And Vilamoura's got some good links to this with some of the recent winners here. There's lots of correlation there, which I've put into my preview this week. Much easier test, Vilamoura. And I've kind of accepted that as a fact. Looking through Tom Lewis, though, looking through his record, he can score. He can play on tougher tests, which is encouraging. He was fifth at Walton Heath back in 2019 at 4 under par. He was third in the Dubai Desert Classic the following year, 7 under par. He was second, you remember this, he was second at TPC Southwind in 2020.
Yeah.
That was 10 under. And Southwind's another one of these tricky, tough, challenging tracks.
Past 70, absolutely. Water everywhere. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. And for him to finish at WGC level, as it was at the time, second there, that's a really good barometer, I think. Now, the thing that would put some punters off is the fact that he's played here 3 times. He's missed the cut on each occasion. Now, I talked about Fleetwood before. He had 4 consecutive missed cuts, then came and won here. Lewis, if you look at how he was playing on each of those occasions, it was nowhere near where he is right now. His long game is far, far better. I've taken a chance on him this week. I think he can turn that round and put himself a contending performance in on this course. I see no logical reason why he can't. I see no logical reason why the course doesn't suit his eye. I just think he's not been playing well enough when he's come here in the past. So yeah, back to Tom Lewis. The final one I've backed at a longer price is Søren Kjeldsen. Now, I backed Kjeldsen with 7 places each way, a fifth of the odds, Betfred 175-1. If there's one player that can handle a grind, it is Søren Kjeldsen. 3 of his 4 wins have been at single digits under par. You remember he won at Royal County Down, the Irish Open, at 2 under par. Now, he beat Wiesberger and Eddie Pepperell in the playoff there. Wiesberger clearly a winner here in the past. He's won at Valderrama. He's got a couple of second place finishes at Valderrama over the years to back that up as well. So, and as we know, Valderrama is one of the most challenging courses on the DP World Tour schedule. 6 top 20s here, a further 3 top 10s as well. And recently, 7th at the Hero Open, 5th at Wentworth a week or so ago. At Wentworth, he was 12th for strokes gained approach, 5th for strokes gained tee to green. So long game's working. Lots of experience here. Long, long price for Søren Kjeldsen, particularly for a guy who's finished 5th in the very recent past at Rolex Series level. I think he's worth a punt at 175-1. Then by 4, Kjeldsen, Lewis, Thorbjørn Olsen and Ewan Ferguson. Who you got your eye on, Barry?
I hadn't read your tips until I kind of figured out a couple of picks. And I was talking to one of my friends about Søren Kjeldsen over the weekend when we were on the course. Mm. We kind of both remarked that he popped his head up at the BMW. And I just said, like, he seems to have this have it very dialed in that when he gets on a course that's not too long, he can just up the game for the week and contend. And this seems, especially that it's going to be running a bit faster, kind of negates that little bit of distance that the Golf Nacional has. And I think that kind of matches up quite nicely for me to add him in, put a little bet on him this week.
I concur.
It would be some hit if he did win now, having not won for so long, but he has he's got the star quality, he's got the winning quality, so let's see. Be a nice catch.
It's all the rage nowadays, Barry, to break these big, long, winless streaks with a, not an out-of-the-blue win, because I don't think it would, given that you finished fifth at Wentworth. He was tied for the lead going into the final day, just to, 10 mm-hmm. days or so ago. So, yeah, I think the price is fantastic on him this week, I must say.
That 175 is very nice for somebody who finished fifth at a... Like, I mean, you'd have to say that Wentworth would kind of give you a similar enough... set of questions to Le Golf Nacional. Like, it's not exactly identical, but I always think about Wentworth of just get maneuver your ball around and get it on the green in regulation, and then just see how the putter goes.
Yep. No, absolutely.
It's not a fun course to be scrambling around.
Yes. Any others catch your eye?
I might put another outside bet or two, maybe like Mike Lorenzo Vera or Victor Dubuisson. I don't know what it is. The small bit of French man in me wants to back a French person to do well in his home open. I like the Ewan Ferguson bet, actually. That's I backed him there a couple of weeks ago, but yeah, he seems like a very, very good golfer to, could be a very nice bet this week, considering some of the prices that are up there. Like, I would much rather back Ewan Ferguson at 50-1 than Victor Perez at 18-1 or 16-1, whatever he is.
Yep. No, absolutely. I think there's a bit of juice in that price, personally. Mm. What about you, Steve?
Podcast favourite. He's 63rd in the race to Dubai right now.
Mm.
I'm seeing him very, very towards the upper echelons when I'm looking at strokes going off the tee, strokes going on approach on our predictor model.
Yeah.
And I love his record here. He's had an 11th and a 5th from his last three.
Mm-hmm.
And his form reads 23, 4, 13, 27th last week. 13th at Wentworth. Matthew Southgate. 55-1, 8 places each way. Bet 365 each way extra. I'm on.
It is his kind of course, isn't it?
Oh, God, yeah. Got a lot to play for, hasn't he? This week, next week, you would assume that he's got a half-decent record at St Andrews as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, such nearly won, didn't he?
Such a coastal course, links golf specialist.
Yeah.
He had a good season. I mean, I was actually taken aback by the fact that he's 63rd in the race to Dubai. He could get to that top 50, could get all the way to the DP World Tour Championship at the end of the year.
Yeah.
That's a great year for Southgate if he can do that.
And again, if we're talking about players where if you looked at their stats post-event and you saw Matthew Southgate having hit 82% of greens in regulation, you wouldn't blink, because you could quite accept and understand and almost expect that to happen. And when he's playing well, which he has been playing well, that is his game. I couldn't put you off, Steve. Really couldn't.
Here are his going strokes gained on approach since the Hero Open, 31st of July, 19th. He then had a negative when he missed when he withdrew at the Kazoo Open. Since then, 13th, 5th, 4th, 41st last week at the Italian Open. But he was, and he's off the tee game's fantastic as well.
Mm.
So yeah, I think it fits Southgate.
Yep.
To a T.
Lots to like.
Yeah. I was wondering also, and it's not the most exciting of bets, but there's a guy that's very close to cracking the world's top 50 for Christmas. And we know what that brings. That brings that lovely feeling and sound of a Augusta National invite hitting your doormat around the festive period. I just wonder about Ryan Fox. I keep seeing Ryan Fox in a lot of stats. I know he withdrew at Wentworth.
Yes, and that was with an injury. So
that was an injury. So you never know, do you?
No, and he might be fine. I think you need to be wary of these kind of new issues. But yeah, that was the one thing that put me off. Because again, like Southgate, you'd look at him in terms of the fit to the course, and it works very nicely. But yeah, that was enough to put me off. But again, you know, beware the injured golfer. He could be absolutely fine coming into this, and as you say, there's lots to play for him.
I like your Ferguson reasoning. Love Tom Lewis. We know his history on Lynx courses. The other one that we always talk about at Lynx courses, and we often back, but no one's mentioned him so far because he is quite short in betting terms. Marcus Kinholt.
Mm.
Two missed cuts, but are we worried about missed cuts around Wentworth and in Rome last week? That's not his game, is it?
No.
But you then look before that, third and 223rd positions in his last four prior to those two missed cuts. And he's got a fifth here and an 11th here.
Yep. When he goes back to a course where he's done well in the past, he can just spring back to life. And yeah, I gave him good consideration. But yes, again, I couldn't put you off. I don't think I wouldn't push you away from that bet if you fancy it.
He is surrounded by a perennial, you know, someone like a Tristan Lawrence, who we know has won recently, 55-1. He does beg the question why he's shorter than a Tristan Lawrence, but the other one I also got a slight suspicion about is Laurie Cantor, but all you know, I still don't like. I still think that when these LIV guys come back to the main tours, with all of the issues and the back scratching that's going on the range, and I'm not sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But 66-1 would look a big price for Laurie Cantor.
Yeah.
If he actually comes to the party, the guy who finished eighth last week in Chicago.
Yeah. Similar argument with Adrian Ategui as well. It was, I've kind of veered away from the LIV guys to a certain degree, just to see how they get on. Because I think you're right. I think there's a bit of there's stuff going on in the background, isn't there? Which can't be. If it's just got to be a little bit unsettling, I think, for some of these players.
Yeah.
But yeah, undoubtedly talented. So we shall see.
Should be a good event. It's always one of my highlights on a DP World Tour.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
This course and this tournament.
Mm. Yeah.
Always well supported in terms of fans as well. So it should be a decent outing, I think. Anything to add, Barry? Are we done for the week?
I think we're good.
We have, by my reckoning, a very decent week next week, haven't we? We've got the Dunhill Lynx up at St Andrews.
Yep.
Rory McIlroy in attendance for that one. And we have the Sanderson Farms Championship on the PGA Tour. So a double header next week as we move inexorably towards the end of the season. Thank you for your time, chaps. I hope your bets go well.
Yep. Best of luck, guys.
You too, boys.
Best of luck to the listeners in terms of their bets. And we will see you again next week. Cheerio.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system.